You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Belta Loda, the officially unofficial podcast for The Expanse on Amazon Prime. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here today to do our annual season preview for season 5. We just got screeners in the door a little bit ago, so I know you've seen at least the first 3 episodes, which are going to be dropping Wednesday, December 16th. Supposedly at 9 a.m. Eastern time, which is noon, or 9 a.m. Pacific, which is noon Eastern.
That's when the spoilers are unembargoed. Our experience with the boys is predictive.
Yeah, it'll be out probably actually be Tuesday night at like 8 p.m. or something, December 15th. So look, start
Tuesday
looking for
3 p.m. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to talk about the new season. Like I said, I know you've seen at least 3 episodes. I've seen the first 1 episode, but I have read obviously book 5, and I was able to finish book 6. Over the last month, I actually reread book 5, read through all of book 6, haven't got to 7 yet. But it doesn't seem like they're going to get much beyond 6, except for there's one hanging chad here, one hanging thread that I really want them to pull at. And it seems like they might be, but we'll talk about that here in a second. Maybe we should talk a little bit about how we're going to cover this season, because obviously we got screeners for this season, and so it's going to be a little different than most of our other shows, but similar to how we covered season 4, right?
We only did like 3 podcasts for season 4. We tried to, because they released them all in one go.
This time, right.
Amazon. It's going
to,
similar to how
we covered The Boys, actually.
There you go.
Because we got screeners on that.
Because it's exactly the same release model. They're dropping the first 3 episodes in one day and then 1 episode per week. There'll be 10 episodes total, I believe.
Yeah.
So, we get a nice injection of fresh content, and seeing the first 3 episodes, that's a doozy of a place to stop.
For sure.
I don't want to spoil anything, but then we'll be getting, and since we've got these screeners, we'll be recording a lot of these things in advance. And since it's dropping over to holidays, unfortunately, again, essentially the first 5 episodes we'll all have recorded in advance, and they'll just be kind of streamed out. We will be taking feedback, though. Expanse@baldmove.com is how you send that in. There'll also be threads, I imagine, on the forums at forums.baldmove.com. But if you want to send stuff to the show, expanse@baldmove.com is where you do it. And we'll probably catch up with that feedback mid-season, say, and we'll be there for the home stretch. The other exciting thing that we're going to be doing, it's a new technology that that Twitch and Amazon developed jointly, is that you can watch any Amazon Prime show on Twitch with an audience. And we're going to be doing that for all of the fresh Expanse episodes. We've actually been doing a rewatch of the Expanse leading up to this. And in fact, if you want to come to Sci-Fi Sundays this Sunday night, we're going to be doing the episode 9 and 10, the penultimate and ultimate episode, finale episodes of season 4 on twitch.tv/baldmove. If you're an Amazon Prime member, it's really easy. Just get yourself a free Twitch account. I'll link them together. There's instructions on our twitch.tv/baldmove about page on how to do that, walks you through, and it's magic. You join up at 8 p.m. Eastern. We hit play, everybody watches it. It's all synchronized. We can all have commentary. It's fun hanging out with the chat. It's a great way to watch The Expanse, and we'll be doing that for all new episodes the following Sunday. So it comes out on Wednesday. That Sunday, we will be doing that week's episode. In the case of the first week, we'll be doing 3 episodes. And we also get started, kind of the pregame the featured, what do you call that? They run like Flash Gordon before a movie in the 50s. It's the warmer up. I forget what they call that. A little before my time. Teaser.
Yeah, sure, the warmer upper. Yeah.
The hors d'oeuvre. We're going to be doing
the foreplay.
Classic start. The foreplay. Yeah, mm-hmm. got y'all slick. We're going to be doing Star Trek The Next Generation, classic episodes of that for the first bit. So at 8 p.m., we're starting with Star Trek, and then we'll be doing all three episodes of the first season, or I'm sorry, season five of The Expanse next Sunday. And we're going to keep that, even though we'll be on Christmas vacation from like mid-December to 1st of January. We're still going to watch The Expanse and do Sci-Fi Sundays because we love it that much.
Yeah, it's the only thing we're doing for work during those 2 weeks. And our podcast, as far as release of those things go, we're going to schedule them all for noon when the embargo is up on the day of release. But if we see that the episodes have already dropped, probably drop the episodes early because why not? It's tough to say, oh, the thing that we released, it's embargoed. You can't review it. Sorry.
Yeah. But hopefully, some of you guys will and gals will be motivated to come join us and watch The Expanse with us. And, you know, get plugged into Sci-Fi Sundays because it's something we're going to be keeping going throughout 2021 as well. What else? I think that's about all we need to talk about as far as the actual housekeeping of Beltaloda.
I think so.
The Beltas have all been loaded.
I feel like it's maybe time to do a little refresher because obviously we've been watching this on Sci-Fi Sundays, but a lot of people haven't seen The Expanse since last year, last December. So maybe a slight refresher.
In the last two weeks, I actually wrapped up my first time read of book four.
Nice.
What is ciabatta burn?
That bread just got too hot.
Yeah, man. You let it toast on Illis or I'm sorry, New Terra. If you're an RCA fan. RCE? Yeah, RCE. Yeah. I finished reading that, and it was really interesting because I remembered a lot of your commentary as I was reading it and kind of like, because I remembered the two things that stood out in my mind is you said, Murtry is an even bigger asshole in the books, which how can you gape bigger and be more unwashed than Murtry in season four? You are lying, man.
Dude.
You were not lying.
Fuck that guy.
He is twice, at least twice as big an asshole in the books. It's hard to put your... he's just more brazen and more or less... I don't know. Not that Murtry was charming in the series, but...
You also spend more time with him. It's like in a book, you're spending hours upon hours upon hours with this guy, at least double the amount of hours, right?
And some of his internal thought processes and the truly awfulness that he is contemplating is breathtaking. The other thing is you mentioned that you found the Millerbot versus the dark matter, angry God's eye, anti-protomolecule, like anticlimactic. And I'm like, because I looked in my notes from last season that I was like really impressed with that like show, that set piece. But of course, you read it in the books where they don't have a budget for words, and it is like as amazing as I thought that was. Like reading the book, it's kind of like a junior high version of the musical, of a Broadway musical. Like they don't quite have the budget, they don't quite, this is supposed to be a set, and it's really just cardboard. It's pretty amazing.
That, and I remember it's been a long time since I read book four, but I remember the whole stuff with. The Barbara Piccola being more involved, them having a harder time keeping that thing in orbit, and them having more like threats and more things to deal with coming from the RCE crew.
Yes, there's a whole militia. There's space battles within spacesuits on
and the mutiny stuff was is that from season four or is that from book three?
I think you're talking book three. There's not really a mutiny. Yeah. There's different factions on board. Hey, yeah, there's a whole plot with Havlik, which was Miller's old partner on was a Sirius station. That he was like the junior head of security, left in charge of the ship in orbit, the Edward Israel, while Mercury's fucking around down on the planet, and he's trying to get like the inners kind of organized, especially the Terrans on the into a militia that they could repel Belters if they had to. They kidnap Naomi, for like half the book and hold her in a cell over there. Like none of this stuff happens on the show. They just cut all this stuff down to make it very simple, the stuff that's happening on the surface by and large. But
So
I'm pretty fresh up on my season four stuff too, is what I'm saying.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about a little bit about where we left off in season four. Obviously, season four was centered almost entirely around Illis. It was basically Illis and then Avrasarla back on Earth and then Bobby on Mars. Right. And let's start with the stuff off of Illis because I guess it's the smallest stuff. But like Avrasarla had this battle with Nancy Gao the entire season over who was going to get elected to the position she currently holds. Is Avrasarla going to get reelected or is Nancy Gao going to get elected and oust her? Turns out Nancy Gao does win that election. So Avrasarla now is... I'm not sure they state her position in season four, but they do off the bat in season five.
Yeah. She's exiled to Luna, to the moon, essentially. Far away where she can't really... she's still, I think, an important part of the Terran government on paper, but she's clearly the odd person out.
But so... I don't know. You and I, when we were watching season four, I remember talking about how Avrasarla seemed like she was out of her element when she was secretary general. When she was assistant under secretary, whatever the fuck she was before Sorrento. She was much better, right? She knew how to work in those spaces. Do you think we see that Avrasarla come back out now that she's no longer, you know, working for an election and under scrutiny of the public eye as much?
I hope so. I don't want to do much spoilers, but from what I've seen so far, she's kind of frustrated and chafing, in this role and there's still some estrangement with her and Arjun, Blajun, Najun, whatever the new Arjun. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the hope. Like, how does she? I guess that's a big question. Is like, how does she, or if she even does wrest control from Nancy Gao? Does she find some way to spin up some kind of independent skunk works operation within the UN government to kind of track down these threats to Earth and to humanity at this point? It's not just Earthers and Belters and Martians. It's what if we go and we activate this civilization or, this one threat we know has wiped out a galaxy spanning civilization far beyond our comprehension before? What the hell would humanity do if they were confronted with that threat again? Like there's a lot of, serious threats and I don't blame them, but all the people on Earth and Mars and the Belt can see is the opportunity, because there's been so little for so few for so long. That they're ready to roll the dice with that.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting how that stuff plays out in these coming books. At least we'll see how it goes in the series. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Avrasarla is not a huge part of book five. She's in it. I won't talk too much about it, but like she's kind of in the background of book five. So I don't know if they're going to push ahead into. She's not a huge part of book six. She's in there certainly as well. So I'm wondering what they're going to do with her. Like we might see not entirely new stories for her, but get a lot more insight into what she's doing because she does have important roles to play. So, but you don't see a ton of it. And so
Avrasarla wasn't really in book four either. She was like a mention because you Holden would refer to some message where she screamed at him that, or like you get a fragment of a tight beam of her berating Holden for fucking something up or whatever. But like, she's not really a POV character. She's not much of a character, just something that's alluded to. Like that's why Holden is here, on Illis and Newterra, because they're counting on him to do the thing he always does, which is be honest and tell the truth. And that's politically advantageous for them at that moment.
Yeah. And she has a more active role to play in books beyond book four. So hopefully we'll get to see more of her because, God, I love her. She's such a good actor. So let's talk about Bobby. That's the other kind of off-world thing happening here over on Mars. Bobby has been doing some stuff from the Gods of Risk novella that last season in season four, which involves like finding out who is buying Martian gear, and using like the underworld there on Mars as it sort of falls apart thanks to the new worlds that have opened up and all that opportunity like you're talking about, and people are leaving Mars, right? And Mars is, it seems like Mars is being stripped and just sold off. Yeah. So I think
everything
that's
must go.
Pretty much where we leave her, right? Like she's in with this, like a lot of that underworld gets killed off, I think, at the end of the season.
I think what happens is that she, in the last bit, reaches out to Avasarala and says, "Ma'am, because Avasarala tried to offer her a position in her administration, and she turned it down because she's trying to. She's very proud and she wants to make it as a Martian, and she believes in the future of Mars." Season four at least is kind of her being disillusioned with all that. But at the end, she sends a message to Avasarala saying, "Ma'am, I've uncovered this kind of conspiracy to sell Martian military weaponry to whomever, and somebody needs to do something about it, and I need help essentially.
Okay,
I want to take you up on that job offer." And that pretty much is in the early goings of season five. Her essentially doing what she did. She's still doing like criminal stuff, but it's like as undercover, kind of like trying to figure out who is doing this, where is this stuff going, you know, turning it into actionable intel for Avasarala.
Yeah. So I assume we're going to see the continuation of that storyline with Bobby here in season five. Mm-hmm. And then the other group, kind of the only other main group to talk about is the Rossi group. And at the end of book four, season four of the show, the Rossi has, you know, dealt with the situation on Illis, and there's an uneasy truce there, I guess, now that Mercury's arrested and you know, or no, killed? No, he's arrested, right? Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have been killed, but he was arrested. Damn you, Holden.
There's a really funny sight gag with Amos's gear involving Mercury that I quite enjoyed. In the early goings of season five. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Okay.
Just pay attention to Amos's personal effects for an Easter egg about his conflict with Mercury.
Huh.
Pretty all entertaining.
Right. So the Rossi is in bad shape. They, if you recall, had to use their railgun as a propulsion system in order to tow the Barbapicola to a higher orbit so that it wouldn't, you know, burn up in the atmosphere. While James Holden was down there fucking around with the alien technology, he manages, the reason being that the fusion reaction in the system was shut off thanks to the alien tech. So Holden's down there fucking around with Millerbot, and they're going through the catacombs of this old technology, and they manage to find essentially the power switch that Miller has been looking for, and he manages to, with the help of Okoye and Millerbot, shut down this alien technology. The fusion reaction comes back online, and they're able to save the Barbapicola. But the Rossi took a lot of damage in the process.
Yeah, there's like, you know, the fucking Mercury, that asshole, launched the arm shuttle at him and did some damage. So the Rossi is really banged up. It's really, really, really banged up in the books.
Like
half disabled. And I think the show is not as bad, but still it's going to have to spend quite a bit of time in dry dock, which gives the crew for the first time since the fucking can't, the ability to kind of do whatever they want. They're grounded for some time. And the thing that surprised me about season five, I wasn't expecting, is the crew just kind of fragments. Everyone kind of, and you saw that in the trailer, that everyone's kind of doing their own thing, but everyone really kind of does their own thing. Amos has some business that he has to finish, some mysterious business he has to finish on Earth. Alex decides that he wants to go back to Mars and try to like make some kind of contact with his family and maybe check up on his old war buddy, Bobby.
Yeah.
And then Naomi, one of the big, plot crumbs from season four is her finding that, you know, getting some information about her son and her ex-lover, Marcos. And I think it seems like one of the major themes for her this season is trying to find her son, Philip, and, you know, get him out from underneath his terrorist father's clutches.
Yeah.
And so she's doing that, and she doesn't want, you know, famous Terran boyfriend James Holden tagging along. So you know, Jim gets left behind, and everybody else kind of has their own little adventures. I have no idea how long that's going to last before everybody gets back together. I already think it sucks that Bobby's off and doing her own thing. Now everybody's kind of doing their own thing. So I'm wondering what brings them back together at this point.
Yeah, it feels so weird. It's like it's a different thing for The Expanse. It's a change of pace when it happens in the books. I will say I really enjoyed book five, and they did this same thing. So look forward to, you know, a good season. I don't think it affected it.
It just wasn't what I expected.
Yeah. When you think about like, if they in Firefly did this right, and like Mal went one way, and did Jane goes the other way, and
and Walsh and everybody,
like it would not feel like Firefly. The Expanse somehow manages to pull it off where it still feels very much like The Expanse, even though all these characters are cast to the wind.
I agree. A couple of other characters I want to touch on is Drummer, which has become kind of a fan favorite, one of my favorites. She rage quits Fred Johnson's organization at the end of last season. So she's going to be doing her own thing. Klaus Ashford is dead, so he's not going to be a part, but he is certainly in the early goings of season five, weighs heavy on Drummer's mind. And this is something that tickled me as someone that's gone and read the book kind of in arrears. Drummer didn't exist in book three.
Yeah.
It was this person, Carlos the Bull. It was one of Fred Johnson's old, like he was like the sergeant to Fred's lieutenant or whatever in the Terran Marines. And there's an old war buddy, and he kind of like presses him back to like be his security chief. And Drummer entirely took his role. Mm-hmm. But in season five, since Drummer's gone and, you know, he still needs a chief of security, they just resurrect that guy from book three, pull him in exactly like they do in the beginning of book three with Fred, you know, like kind of like rolling like, hey, you owe me and you don't might not even like me or want to be here, but I need you. And I really like that because I thought, as much as I love Drummer, I really liked Bull, and now I feel like I get to see both flavors, and it's pretty cool.
I will say about the Drummer thing, I think what they're going to do with Drummer, because you see her in the preview, so she's definitely in this season.
Certainly, yep.
This won't mean much for people who haven't read book six yet, but I think she's going to be the Michio Pa of the group, and
that doesn't mean anything to me neither.
Yeah, I will say she has a big role to play if that's the case, but I really don't know what they're doing with Drummer because they've replaced one character with Drummer. Are they going to replace another with Drummer and replace Drummer with the character she replaced initially? I could see it. It would totally work out from a motivation standpoint. So, yeah.
There's a couple other surprise faces from previous seasons that I don't want to necessarily spoil, but like characters that I would never have thought are going to be, you know, a big part of The Expanse going forward are kind of put front and center in the early goings in season five, which I think is a treat. One thing that I had a big question from last year is Miller really truly gone? And what does that even mean? You know, like Miller and in the books, I think the books, one of my favorite parts of the fourth book is the inner monologue of the investigator. Mm-hmm. Like every few chapters, you would get this thing where it's from like the, I don't know how to describe it because it's very cool and extraterrestrial, but it's essentially told from the perspective of the protomolecules reaching out subroutine. Mm-hmm. And like all the blends of the different consciousnesses in there, and Miller's one of them, the investigator. It's one of the tools that it tries to use to do, you know, the flip on switches and open doors and all the things he was talking about. And I really got a real appreciation for what they're doing with that, because it's not literally Miller. And if Miller comes back, it doesn't mean that it's even the same Miller that was the investigator before. It's just it can take Miller apart and use him however it wants. And he's got awareness, but the protomolecule doesn't. I think that stuff was all fascinating. And it's an open question for me of whether we'll ever see Miller again. And what does that even mean? If we see Miller again, is it the same Miller? But I hope so, because I think that's some of the best parts in the book. And I really enjoyed, like, in season four, they do a lot more of the Miller and Holden stuff. Like, there's at one point where Holden tells Miller that, like, do you know anything about the fusion that's no longer working in orbit of Illus? And Miller says something like, bold of you to assume that it stopped, that effect stops at the orbit. And Miller and Holden's like, are you telling me that the sun is going to stop working? Oh my God, Miller, is the sun going to stop? You know, like, it's a lot of funny exchanges like that, because the other thing is, like, Miller knows a lot, but not, like I said, it's really hard to describe those interludes, they're called, mm-hmm. with the investigator, because it's really hard to write, like, intelligences, they're not like yourself, and they did a really fucking good job, and I hope we still get that. I hope we still get that stuff, because we know that Fred, you know, one of the big things you need to remember is Fred Thompson.
Johnson,
thank you. Fred Johnson has the protomolecule still.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a piece of protomolecule still out there. So
the other thing, I don't know if the show didn't make this, or if it just this point enough, or it was made especially well in the book, but the idea that Illus was, or New Terra was, a dead planet, mm-hmm. until the protomolecule got into orbit on the Rocinante, that little blob that they had in their cargo hold, and that started waking everything up. So I thought one of the things was going to be all these human colonies going to all these different worlds, and they're all going to have these different adventures with these protomolecule stuff, but it doesn't seem like that's the case, except there is still a little bit of live protomolecule in the solar system, and what the hell is going to happen with that?
Right. And that's kind of what I love about it, because Avrasarla is so, you know, worried about what's going to happen if people start going through the gates and activating technology that we don't even understand from beings that are so much more powerful than us. Could it just simply be that, like, if humanity doesn't have a sample of the protomolecule, there's nothing to fear? And so, like, everything that Nancy Gao is saying about the opportunities and stuff this affords us is going to be totally cool and totally fine, because there's not enough protomolecule out there and it's hidden away. And I don't know, all good questions. I will say, like, yeah, I'm super hopeful that Miller comes back. I won't say anything about future books, but obviously one of my favorite characters, my favorite character throughout this show. So if he does come back, I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't a joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
The other big massive cliffhanger from the previous season is the multiple, I think it's between 8 and 10 stealth asteroids that Marco Sinaros has used using stolen Martian stealth technology and set on a collision course with Earth.
Yeah.
You know, the big questions I had, I just used these for my notes from last year, is like, you know, when are they going to hit? Will they hit? How big are they? What kind of devastation is it going to cause? I mean, that's like the big, you know, Chekhov's gun of this entire season. Like, what's going on with those? Can they be stopped? Because Earth doesn't even know about them. That's the really terrifying part. Are they going to be able to, you know, find out in time? How will they? Like, those are all a bunch of open questions. I can't say anything more.
I know too much. I can't say.
I will say that, you know, we haven't discussed a trailer, but one thing I will say about the trailer is all but about 10 seconds of the trailer that I can tell. And they weren't even momentous 10 seconds. They're just like, you know, a picture of like one of them is a flashback scene, apparently. Yeah. All of those, like 97% of the trailer comes from the first three episodes that you're going to see next week. So I like that, because I like anytime that you get to trailers, it's all early going material, because that leaves a whole lot left for speculation and a whole lot left to see, a lot of mystery to unravel.
Yeah. And it sets a pace for the season that, look, I think this is going to be a blisteringly fast season. As a matter of fact, we haven't talked yet about how, about the news, the big news about The Expanse, right? Season 5 is the second to last season. They're going to end it with the next season, season 6. I think they are about to blast not only through books 5 and 6, but maybe through the entirety of the rest of the series in one way or another. I think there's a lot around 5 and 6 that could stop. But what they're doing with Monica Stewart especially makes me think they might try and blast right to the fucking end with her stuff.
I've stayed very careful to be spoiler free. I have seen a couple meta conversations that kind of say that, like, look, books 1 through 3 were a trilogy, and no one thought that the end, you know, when you're reading book 1 and 2, and we just talked about this in our pregame, like, I was watching those first seasons and I'm thinking, like, you know, where they're going with this proto molecule stuff, it's kind of dumb, the space zombies and like this kind of alien threat, and like, okay, whatever. I did not see Stargate, you know, like system spanning, universe spanning Stargates, right? Like that. And I've heard that like the books 4, 5, and 6 are another one of those where it's like you think it's about one thing and then it's some kind of mind blowing thing that happens at the end that kind of kicks things up another notch. Now, I can't, like I said, I couldn't even see Stargate. I'm thinking, like, what the hell is the next kick up of the notch? And then my understanding is 7, 8, and 9 are then dealing with that other set of questions. So in just a way, I know we talked about this at the end of season 3. Like, if season 3 ended, yes, obviously, what's humanity going to do with the Stargate? But it's also kind of an interesting place to end the series. Like, you've resolved the protomolecule stuff, all the stuff with the, you know, Zhulpia Miao and the shadow government and the takeover to the UN and the Martian plot and all that stuff all kind of was neatly tied together. And then, you know, season 4 really was a step forward beyond all that stuff. All the stuff that we were caring so much about was irrelevant. And I wonder if that they've got a way to like sever things and leave it at season 6. And I'm not saying they would stay there, but like, this was the production company's decision from what I understand. And could they then take and shop it to a different studio? Would Amazon maybe take it over themselves? Are there a possibility to tell the other books and movies? I don't know, but
why
was
it
real good news?
It's just a huge puzzler to me why they'd shut this down, because I essentially assume that they have a blank check from Amazon at this point. Like, make this thing, if you've noticed, it looks a hell of a lot better now that it's on Amazon instead of Sci-Fi. Like, Sci-Fi did a great job. I don't want to give them too much shit, but like, Amazon has bumped it up a notch. You can tell they're spending money on this thing. You can tell that it's a passion project. Why the studio would say no to that, to continue to make this. I wonder if there's something where, like, look, Amazon doesn't have the best reputation as far as working with the people on its platform. I wonder if they're squeezing, you know, the studio in the same way that they squeeze some of their product providers and things like that. There might be some bad blood there. I don't know.
Maybe it could be something that Amazon's trying to, like you said, squeeze them so they can get it onto their own. It could just be that Alcon doesn't see, because that's the other thing is, like, I just don't know. We don't have a lot of insight into how big The Expanse is, you know, on Amazon's platform, right? You know, like, there was a big, massive increase in interest in Expanse when it was being canceled during season 3 and the whole save. The Screaming Firehawks and Save the Expanse, all that stuff, like, really increased a lot of interest, blew up the subreddit from like 30,000 people to like where it is at now, 200,000. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's grown a lot since then. And I wonder if, especially since last year, I thought it was foolish to dump the whole thing a day, you know, 3 minutes till midnight on Christmas Eve or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And like, it didn't really make a huge, like, it, you know, season three was on the front page of Reddit and it was going around social media and it was trending on Twitter and it was trending on Facebook. Season four did not do that. I wonder if like Alcon's just kind of like, well, you know, we're going to make this thing and on the next trilogy, it's just going to be another increase in budget that we're going to have to do it another. And like, we just don't want any part of it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any special insight. I'm making assumptions here, but it just seems strange to me that like a show that has to have some kind of like set in stone, we're definitely going to make this stuff, like it would have the production company going, eh, we don't want to.
I will say that there's an opportunity for us to get a little like this is not like laboratory or Nielsen type data, but there's this app called Twitch Tracker that shows like the amount of traffic and various things. And one of the things is watch parties, which is this new technology that allows us to watch episodes with an audience on Twitch. And that technology essentially was kind of like at a very low level. And then The Boys dropped. And then there's this massive increase in watch parties. Yeah. And I'm very, very curious when, you know, because Twitch is a very sci-fi friendly, you know, The Boys did very well on it. Is the when The Expanse comes out, I'm very curious about whether you see a similar spike. Is it going to be a bigger spike, a smaller spike? Because I think we know that Amazon considers The Boys like a runaway hit.
Yeah.
Like they're very pleased with the way, and it got a lot of, made a big splash this year. Everybody was talking about it. I'm very curious to compare those numbers when we get, when all that stuff comes out, because I think like if you see a spike as big as The Boys, that says something, you know,
for sure.
If it's significant, if it's half the size or less, then it's like, that says something too. Again, it's not necessarily scientific. It's not necessarily representative, because Twitch is a very unique platform with a very, you know, curated audience of mostly probably people open to sci-fi and comic book stuff, but it's going to be some kind of data that we'll have our hands on. And maybe we can talk about that as we go forward in the season.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do. The other kind of big old meatball hanging out there is the news about Cass Anvar. He won't be a part of season six. And if people haven't heard, over the break between last season and this one, there has been a little bit of scandal about him. Some sexual misconduct perhaps around maybe minors at conventions, and it was a whole thing. And I don't know a ton of details. I kind of gleaned from the news articles I read, but he won't be coming back for season six, but he will be in season five.
Cause they already had shot him and, you know, I don't know what that means to write him out. I don't know if that means they'll replace him. I don't know that they've clarified that yet.
Not sure.
It's too bad, because like Cass Anvar, again, these allegations are really serious and kind of gross, you know, like essentially preying on underage fans over social media and at convention appearances. He's a grown-ass man. That's really gross and damaging to people, and I could see a lot of fans not even wanting to watch a show with him in it at this point. But he's a really fucking good Alex, and it'd be big shoes to fill. Now, it's not impossible. Like, you know, hell, they recast the original Star Trek crew to some acclaim. They recast James Bond every 10 years or so.
But they also
much incident.
Did recast Arjun, and we saw how that went.
Not great. But that was something they didn't like. I heard that was like kind of a last minute. It was a scheduling conflict with the original actor. It's not something they wanted to do. Now, this is obviously not something they want to do either, but they've got years of lead time to fix this. So like, if you want to find, like, it's surely you can find a fucking decent Alex out there if you wanted to, or maybe you can just, you know, you could somehow write his character out in some way. I'm struggling to see, you know, like a between seasons the tight beam that Holden gets saying, hey, I went back to Mars and I want to shack up with my old lady and just don't worry about me ever again.
I think the crowd pleaser here is to pull in somebody who nobody can really argue with, like pull in Oscar Isaac or something, right? Like pull in somebody big, Pedro Pascal, get him on.
That, Oh man, that would be interesting. That would be like probably 10 times the casting budget of anybody else. But yeah, your point stands. Like, he was a really good Alex, and you know, yeah, he also, that's the other damn shame about all this, is he's beloved amongst the community for kind of spearheading the Save the Expanse campaign, and
right,
you know, it's unfortunate that he abused his power and trust that we put into him in really gross ways. But that's, how I don't think that's like, because some people are like, oh my God, because it was a really good news, bad news. Like, good news, yeah, the Expanse has already been greenlit for season 6 in advance of season 5 even coming out. Like, yeah, faith in they. And then it's like, also, by the way, it's going to be the final season and Cass Anvar is going to be no longer part of the crew. And blah, blah. So I don't think it has anything. What I was getting at is, I don't think it has one has anything to do with the other. It's not like, oh shit,
no.
Cass Anvar's out, we got to shut this whole fucking thing down. But
it is going to be hard to replace him, because he defines Alex for me. Like, when I read books now, I'm seeing Cass Anvar's face when I'm reading Alex's chapters.
All these people, it's sometimes jarring, because like Naomi and Amos don't really particularly fit their physical descriptions in the series. So when I go back and read the books, it always takes me a while to recalibrate. Oh, right.
I mean, Naomi's Alex doesn't, like,
this willowy 7-foot tall alien looking woman. And yeah, Amos is a lot older and kind of pudgier, stockier, balding. And he's not this,
Alex,
like,
is the same, right? Like, Alex has gotten in better shape. It's been the running joke for the last four seasons is, Alex has, you know, gotten in better shape, and in the book he's just this pudgy beer gut.
Pudgy guy.
Yeah.
Drawling Texan guy. But yeah, it's a bummer, but I think it's also what you gotta do. I mean, Jesus Christ, there's gonna be consequences of this kind of behavior. So but that's definitely bittersweet, getting season 6 and losing Alex and losing the series. I saw some statements, but Dan and Ty, the joint writers for The Expanse, saying that, like, they always thought that the third trilogy was going to be a long shot, because it is, I don't know what this means, but I hear that it's like a huge increase in terms of complexity and sci-fi stuff. Dude. And maybe it's something that would be better off on a big budget movie. But that's the other question, is like, that's why I'm really so desperate to know, like, how this is doing audience wise. We're starting to get some cool merch, you know, like a whole line of ships is coming out. There's some t-shirts and stuff available. But like, I'm really, cause like, you know, the odds of us getting $100 million budget book 7 is going to depend on how popular the series is, you know? And we don't have any numbers on that since it's left sci-fi, which, you know, it wasn't doing great there.
Yeah.
So
I will say, like, as far as, you know, the escalation of this stuff, and if they ever get to book 7 or whatever, we're staring down the barrel of another big escalation. And that's the story of The Expanse, like you were talking about earlier. Every time you think, oh, this story is, you know, small ball, or that was wrapped up nicely, they don't need to go anywhere else, boom, a ring gate opens, you know, or boom, the jellyfish comes out of Venus. Like,
yeah,
those are all huge moments that blew your mind, and they have a knack for somehow lulling me into this idea that they can't possibly go any bigger. And every time they do that, I'm put to shame, because they go bigger and they go better. And I think this season will be no different. And I assume books 7 through 9, if they ever get around to making those on the big screen or the small screen, will be no different as well. I don't know. I'm super excited to see what people think about this season, because, man, those books go places.
I will say that, like, my impression of the first 3 episodes is it's a bit more of a slow burn, you know, and it felt,
they have a lot more to set up, because there are a lot more threads to pull out with everybody splitting up.
Exactly. And you have to service all these characters, and they're all, you know, spread hither and yon, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, with Amos's personal business and Alex's personal business and Naomi's personal business, it takes a lot to set up and establish. But like I said, the third episode cliffhanger is a fucking doozy.
Yeah.
So I imagine things will start picking up.
For sure.
To say the least.
I think that's about all I got.
Yeah, just want to reiterate that next Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time is when we plan on all 3 episodes of the first 3 episodes, I should say, of season 5 dropping.
Yeah.
then we will drop one episode every Wednesday. Hints. We will probably consider limited feedback of the first 5 episodes, because we're going to essentially record all those in advance. And then starting the new year, when we start recording them closer to when they're air, we'll start getting the same way we did feedback for The Boys, where it's essentially 1 week in arrears. And that worked out pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then also don't forget Sci-Fi Sundays every Sunday from here until the heat death of the universe, possibly.
Or the end of The Expanse, whichever comes first.
Sci-Fi Sundays will definitely outlive The Expanse. I think we're going to keep that going.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but Sci-Fi Sundays, every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, we will watch an episode of probably season 3 of Star Trek. That's what we're on right now, The Next Generation, and then the new Expanse episodes for those that week. And we'll mm-hmm. keep doing that. It's a great time. Got a great audience. It's a lot of fun. I really encourage you to join us at twitch.tv/baldmove every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can follow us over at Twitch. You can see our schedule. You can find out how to link up your Amazon Prime account, if you have one, to your free Twitch account to join in on these live watches. And I hope you do, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's easy. Don't be intimidated by the process. Super simple.
Yeah. It takes like 60 seconds at most.
And, essentially, you're just logging in to your services.
Yep. Yep. And the other thing to mention is feedback at expanse@baldmove.com. Wherever we see you next, we'll see you then. And until that time, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.